Or representations may not reflect those of AM 1220 The Word or Salem Communications.
Welcome to Where is God's Word with your host, Bruce Musselman, brought to you by the Mattaway Country Baptist Church of Aurora, Ohio. Bruce combines over 40 years of experience as a pastor, Bible teacher, and author. This program addresses topics surrounding the authority and inerrancy of the Bible. Here now with this week's edition of Where is God's Word is Bruce Musselman.
Well, so glad to be with you again, wherever you are in the world, and the Lord has blessed this program to people can hear it all over the world. And we're getting, last time on the internet, we were getting hit from, we got it from Latvia, Russia, where else?
And the United States are mostly right
Yeah,
now.
We had about 99 inquiries from the United States, a couple from France. Yeah, that might have been some of my friends over there, you know. But anyway, we thank the Lord for it that folks are listening. And what this program is all about, and we're going to have Charles Spurgeon call him to talk today. Al's going to talk for him, but read what Charles Spurgeon said, one of the most famous preachers that a lot of preachers have used his sermons and outlines, and see what he says. But what we're saying is, and this program, we call it Equal Time, because today on radio and television, you don't listen very long to so-called Christian radio and television before they're correcting the Word of God, which we believe is the King James Bible. And so the hour that we have here will not make up for all the time that we hear it being corrected, because we hear it being corrected all the time. And I think of popes, you know, used to, in the ancient times, thousands of years ago, you'd start off with the pastor, like Peter. He would call himself an elder, and then somebody would call himself, I guess, a reverend. And then it got, they kept elevating, and it got higher and higher until finally the guy calls himself a pope. And then Pope Pius XI said everybody, Pope Innocent III by 1215, he said that he was Christ on earth, and he was king of the kingdom of God, king of the kingdom of heaven, and so on, you know. And then we go on a little bit farther, and Pope Pius XI said everybody should recognize him as God on earth. And then we have so on, Pope Pius XII and so on, and they claim that they're Christ on earth, see? And we're going to be talking, we're just starting off on this subject of popes today, but Jesus says, many will come in my name, there'll be many of them, they come in Jesus' name and say, I am Christ, and deceive many. And so many popes have come saying they're Christ, and they come in Jesus' name, and they deceive many according to Jesus. You can look that up in the Gospel of Matthew. But in evangelical circles also, we have more popes there, you know. And we do something a lot of popes don't even do, and that is they correct the Word of God. Now, they have a mystical Bible they call the original, see, which, by the way, nobody has. And if they had it, they wouldn't know they had it, see. They don't have any originals. All they got is copies of copies. But they'll say, and so we have Pope Jimmy, and he says it should have been translated like this. And then Pope Johnny, he says it should. It really means so and so, you know. And Pope Kenny, he says he's got his list of corrections. Now, when they say the Greek says, I wonder sometimes they're like if they're not like. The founder of the Jehovah's Witnesses, Mr. Russell, and so he was taken to court. And the opposing lawyer said to him, do you know Greek? And he said, yes, I know Greek. And he said, would you please give me the Greek alphabet, you know, to begin and quote the Greek alphabet. And of course, Mr. Russell, founder of the Jehovah's Witnesses, couldn't do it, see. I remember when the Jehovah's Witnesses used to come, and they would always want to talk to you about what the Greek says. And I was reading a Jehovah's Witness Bible one time, and I was reading the introduction, and they were telling me where they got their information, and they were very much anti-Catholic. And here they were getting their information from the Pope's Vatican Bible. And by the way, the modern versions come from the Pope's Vatican Bible that he's promoting. But before that, it comes from Constantine's Bible, and that's the one that the Pope uses. And Constantine, when he put out these Bibles, he was worshipped as the incarnation of the sun god. So you see today, when you use a modern version, you're getting from a very reliable source, and that is Constantine, who is supposed to be the first Christian, but also the head of the pagan religion, and worshipped as a sun god. And so the question is today whether we're going to have a Bible like is found in the King James put out that comes from the Lord Jesus Christ and the apostles, and it has been traced right back there, because over 99% of the ancient manuscripts and ancient church fathers will back their readings of the King James, or the Bibles that come from the sun god Codex B. Vaticanus and Aleph Sinaiticus, which disagree with each other 3,000 words in the Gospels. And you say, somebody says, well, you're not talking very nice, you know. Well, I tell you, somebody came in and I love my mother, you know, and they'd say, I love your mother, and I've been a friend of your mother's a long time, and we've gone out together. But they'd get their butcher knife off and say, I love your mother, and cut off one of her fingers, and then say, yes, but we've been friends a long time, and cut off one of her ears. I wouldn't take that too good, and I think I would get very excited about it. Now, the King James Bible has gone on and been here since 1611, and we're going to give verses today that show that it is the Word of God. All you have to do is understand and be able to read English to see that God Almighty has said that the King James Bible is the Bible that He approves of and is the Word of God. And why are these guys correcting it? They'll say the Greek says, and there's all kinds of Greek texts. They don't even tell you. They don't give no arguments whatsoever. They just dogmatically, it should have been like so-and-so. The Greek says, they won't even say that. It should have been so-and-so. I read one commentator, and he's correcting the King James. He didn't refer to the Greek or anything. Gives no argument for it whatsoever. And all of us out there, I think he thinks once he's on radio or television, then he has become the authority, and he can sit in judgment on God's word. And the rest of us are supposed to drop our Bibles, I guess, and bow down and worship. Now, you say that's a little extreme. Listen, when Peter went to talk to Cornelius, Cornelius got down and worshiped him, and Peter said, get up, I'm a man. That'd be nice if popes used to, when they had people bowed down to him, would say that. And not only that, when Paul and Barnabas were one place and they started to bow down to them, and they said, get up, I'm a man. But guess what? One of the most holy men in the whole Bible, his name was Daniel. And he interpreted, you know, in the King James Bible, when it talks about translating, it uses the word interpretation. And I am not against if a person is very careful in comparing scripture with scripture and defining a word. But when they say, this is an unfortunate translation, it should have been, or the Greek says, no, that is correcting God's word. And so Daniel, after he interprets the dream of Nebuchadnezzar, old Neb gets down and worships Daniel. And did Daniel say, get up, I'm a man? Well, maybe he did, but the Bible doesn't record that he ever did that. And he was one of the most good and godly men. Now, today, the great majority of people up until this time still look at the King James as the Word of God. And yet, on radio and television, you have it constantly being corrected. And I have the suspicion that most of them have never even studied Greek, because if they had, why don't they tell you what Greek text they're using? There's dozens of Greek texts out there. I think Philip Schaff said there were 666 Greek texts. There's all kinds of dictionaries out there. They call them lexicons. And many of these dictionaries and Greek texts are made up by unsaved people. For instance, Thayer is used by Kenneth Wiest, and Mr. Thayer is a Unitarian. He has openly stated and can be quoted that he doesn't believe Jesus is God. Mr. Metzger, that they use at Dallas, he doesn't believe the originals are perfect. Schaff said that believing the verbal inspiration of the originals, he said that was moonshine. And he was on this committee, and Westcott and Hort was on a committee that put out, they call the New Testament original Greek, and young people say, oh, I believe in original Greek. And a lot of times they're talking about a fictitious text made up, and it's original, all right? It's original with Westcott and Hort. Now, what this program is saying, we have the Word of God today. And if Dr. Smellfungus in one of these seminaries, and anymore, they should be teaching people how to teach and preach the Word of God, not how to correct it. And they are doing that in many Bible schools today. And I thank God today, however, there are Bible schools all around that you can go to. And I'll tell you some of them in this area, but they have one at Cleveland Baptist Church. They have one in Massillon Baptist Temple. They have one at Columbia Road Baptist. They have one at Columbia Road Baptist. And they have Bible institutes that you can go to where they'll teach you how to preach and teach the Word of God, not how to correct it. But so many of them, a guy graduated, and I don't like to particularly attack people or institutions, but a guy recently graduated from a famous Bible institute, and he went back to working in the factory because he said he didn't know where the Word of God is. Well, if you can read plain scripture today, and what we're talking about is where the Word of God is, and we have it today. What's it mean when it says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee"? And Jesus says, "Thy word have I hid my heart." God's word is in our heart. Now, let's start off, and I'm going to ask, we have Brother Clark Block here today, and we have Brother Al Davis, pastor of Richfield Bible Baptist Church. Tell us the time of the church, and then we'll continue on.
All right, well, thanks, Bruce, and I was glad to be able to fill in for you last week as well. Glad you're here with us today. And the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio is our church, and we meet at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express every Friday night from 7 till 9, an open Bible study. And then Sunday mornings we have a Bible study at 10 a.m., and then our morning service at 11 a.m., where we're currently going through the Gospel of Luke. And then at 6 p.m., same location, every Sunday we have our evening service, and I'm currently going through the book of Jeremiah there. And but glad to be with you today. And you wanted me to read from Spurgeon here.
Yes, and Brother Davis is going to read from Charles Spurgeon, considered one of the greatest preachers of all times. And he's talking about exactly what goes on evangelical radio and television. Go ahead and read that.
All right, and I would just add that Charles Spurgeon said this before we had evangelical radio and television, because he was in the late 1800s, and his church was the biggest church, one of the biggest churches in the world, and certainly biggest church in London, England, and he had standing room only, and his sermons were printed in the London Times the next day. But Charles Spurgeon said this: "The approval method of the present carnival of unbelief is not to reject the Bible altogether, but to raise doubts as to portions of it and questions as to the uniform inspiration of it as a whole. If the book be not infallible, where shall we find infallibility? We have given up the Pope, for he has blundered often and terribly, but shall we not set up instead of him a horde of popelings fresh from college? Are these correctors of the Scriptures infallible? Is it certain that our Bibles are not right, but that the critics must be so? Now, Farmer Smith, when you have read your Bible and have enjoyed its precious promises, you will have tomorrow morning to go down the street and ask the scholarly man at the parsonage whether this portion of the Scripture belongs to the inspired part of the Word, or whether it is of dubious authority. We shall gradually be so bedoubted and be criticized that only a few of the most profound will know what is Bible and what is not, and they will dictate to the rest of us. I have no more faith in their mercy than in their accuracy, and we are fully assured that our old English version," that would be the King James Version of the Bible, "their old English version of the Scriptures is sufficient for the plain man for all purposes of life, salvation, and goodness. We do not despise learning, but we will never say of culture, of criticism, 'These be thy gods, O Israel.'"
You know, somebody said, well, since Spurgeon's time, we found newer and better manuscripts. Listen, they had a find in Egypt called at Oxyrhynchus, Egypt, and because of that, Nestle's Greek text was changed towards the received text that the King James is based on in hundreds of places. And that find backs up the readings of the King James, which was a recent find. And the vast majority, and we're going to go into scripture verses, that is about 99%, just in, as in Spurgeon time, and it's the same today, backs up the authorized King James Bible. And he called these correctors popelings. And I personally think, if they know what they're talking about, why don't they tell us what text they're using, since there's probably over 600 of them, and what dictionary they're using when they say the Greek says? I doubt that they even know that. I talked to one person that studied Greek for 4 years at a fundamental school. 4 years. And he said, well, I believe in what the original Greek says, you know, rather than the King James. I said, well, what text are you talking about? That's the end of the conversation. They don't tell you in Greek class what Greek text they're even using. I remember I could say that from experience. A couple of years that I took Greek in college, they never told us what Greek text we were using. Isn't that amazing? You know, when there's all these Greek texts. I found out after I got out and I started investigating, I found out we were using Nestle's 23rd edition. And Ira Price, the University of Chicago and Kenyon, who are leading writers on textual history, says it came from the official Roman Catholic Clementine Vulgate of 1592, put out by the Jesuits, which were set up to overthrow the Protestant Reformation. And we were never told that one time. And most people are not told those and little information that they just sort of forgot, I think, or did they forget it, see? Now, where do we find the true Word of God? And where do we find Jesus Christ? It says, for Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But and this is Romans chapter 10, verse 5. And you might want to copy down some of these verses, because we're going to show you where God says his word is. We're not to take the Bible we prefer. We're to take the Bible God prefers. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thy heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Who shall descend into the deep? That is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Now, the true word of God is going to be near us, nigh us. If you don't understand that English word, it means near. It's near us in our mouth and in our heart. It's something that you can quote, you hear quoted, you speak it. It's in your mouth and in your heart. And since the one that is most often quoted by a long shot, because they don't quote many of the modern versions, would be the authorized King James Bible. It has now been produced in 5 billion copies have been made. And somebody says, well, the NIV was sold. Yeah, with all the millions of dollars of advertising, they managed to get about 200,000 out. The King James has gone to 5 billion. So it's in the hearts of many of the 5 billion people, in their heart and in their mouth. See? And God's word, wherever it is in your heart and in your mouth. It's not in some cave over there above the Dead Sea, you know, hiding out, or in some monastery or in the Pope's library. It's in our heart and in our mouth. And all the way back, the received text coming from Christ and the apostles that the King James is based on, they had these ancient Bibles open when they translated the King James, and the readings were taken from those, and that was the true text. They had those in their heart and in their mouth, you know, and for the last 2,000 years. And the modern ones are based on less than 1% of the evidence. So that's where we find God. We find the Lord Jesus Christ there, see? And Jesus said in one place in John, I don't have the reference right now, but he says, if ye abide in me and I abide in you, you shall ask what you will and shall be done. And the Bible has parallelism, so if you don't understand a word, it explains it. He says, if ye abide in me, instead of saying, I abide in you, he said, my words abide in you. Ye shall ask what ye will. Now listen, you know, if you kick out Jesus' words, if you have a Bible that kicks out Jesus' words, then you kicked out Jesus. And the Laodicean church, Jesus is outside the church. How's he outside? Well, he's in his words in the authorized Bible that's come down to us from Christ and the apostles. So if you kick out the authorized Bible, you kicked out Jesus. That's how he's out. And so he tells us where the word of God is. Now, you might want to copy some of these verses down, and they are very, very clear as to where God's word is. And if you don't think that this is an issue, God always says that his words are important. The last thing Jesus said, he warns people if they add to his words, if they take away his words, they get the curses on them. And man fell because the first thing Eve did was she put out a revision of God's words. God said, "If the day that you take that, when you take that fruit, you shall surely die." And so she revised it, and she said, "God said of." She revised it, and God had said, "You may freely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and of evil, you may not eat thereof. For the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die." So she, first of all, in her revision, she takes out freely, and that word's taken out in a place in Romans. She takes out freely, and then she says, God says, you shall not touch it, and God didn't say that, so she makes God out to be a little harsher than he is. So she adds to God's word. Then instead of saying, you shall surely die, she says, lest you die, in her revision, see? She revised the word of God, and since then, we have had wars, we have had death, we had destruction. And so as man started out, he's ending the same way. And Christian radio and television, day and night, are correcting the text that has come down to us from the New Testament church and can be proved because that text is in hundreds of museums all over Europe and has come down to us from the Lord Jesus Christ and the apostles. And it's being corrected day and night in by preachers and on radio and television. Now, the Word of God, we're going to give, show you where the Word of God is from the Bible, what God says about it. First of all, the Word of God stands, and this is found in Isaiah 40, verse 8. Get your pen and paper out. Look these up after you're done, after the program. Go ahead.
All right. In Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 8, the Bible says, "The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the Word of our God shall stand forever."
So it stood all through the Dark Ages, and it stood all the way up to the translation of the King James, and then the King James translates it, and since that time, over 100 translations have come out by everybody and their brother. You could listen to it. Webster translated, I think even Wesley did, and translation after translation comes out, and after the advertising stops, maybe they last 10, 12, 15 years. And then all you can find about that translation that's in the history books, the ASV, the new, you know, and so on, it comes out and then it dies because it's been dead in the beginning. But the Word of God stands forever. And the King James Bible goes on every new generation. It goes on. People that read the Bible every day, the majority of people on recent polls that read the Bible every day are reading the King James. And it's amazing when you think of it because the Bible schools are teaching against it. The radio and television is teaching against it. The books in the Christian bookstore are teaching against it. And it just goes right on because it's the Word of God. And it will go on. It'll last forever. Okay, so Isaiah 48, the Word of God stands. And then God's Word is known to His people. God's sheep have heard His voice in the true Word of God. Go ahead.
And that would be in the Gospel
of John. John
10,
27.
Yeah, Gospel of John, chapter 10, verse 27, Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me."
Now, a lot of these lexicons and dictionaries are put out by unsaved people that can, by their own statements, they would not qualify as being born again. And also the texts, corrupt texts, like Westcott and Hort, the New Testament and the original Greek, they were evolutionists and dolly worshipers. And believed in a lot of other corrupt stuff, and they put out a text called New Testament Original Greek. Now, Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice." And so the reason that the authorized King James continues to go on is because God's sheep hear the voice of Jesus Christ in that text. Now, I know the devil could conceive people and tell them how smart they are because they don't believe it. You know, they tell this old joke in a Greek class, and they say, this old lady, she came and she said, well, it was good enough for Paul, and it's good enough for me, you know. And so everybody is supposed to laugh at her ignorance. The fact of the matter is she was more true than a lot of the people that did the laughing because the true text comes from Antioch, and it's called the Antiochian text. And Paul and Barnabas were sent out as missionaries from Antioch, so they would have been using the received text that has come down to us. And so instead of laughing at her, they ought to get serious and start thinking about what God says. We got to take a break, and then we'll be back.
Can a student be reprimanded for attending a church event that conflicts with an after-school assignment? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
My daughter is in the fifth grade. They have an open house, and I asked her to let her teacher know that we were not going to be able to make it because we leave about 6:15 to go to church. Her teacher responded back that church is not an excuse not to be there. So I was wondering, is that okay for him to do that, for there to be a consequence?
Absolutely not. You're not entitled, or the school is not entitled to have someone surrender a constitutional right there, the free exercise of religion, because they need to go to church for a special event rather than attend something at school. The courts have said consistently that school districts do the best when they accommodate the sincerely held religious beliefs of the members of the school body. So this idea that you would then be penalized is just not appropriate, and it's not correct legally, and we need to get some of our lawyers at the ACLJ working on that.
For more information about student rights, visit us on our website at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
I've got a great prayer to share with you, and you don't need a seminary education for this one. Hi there, I'm Chuck Swindoll. This is a prayer to be said when the world has gotten you down, and you're feeling rotten, and you're too doggone tired to pray, and you're in a big hurry, and besides, you're mad at everybody. Are you ready? Here it is. Help. You need me to repeat that? Help. Just be sure you're saying it to the right person. He'll understand. He always does. He won't turn you off. Matter of fact, he'll answer. Just say, help.
Pastor and teacher Chuck Swindoll. Visit Insight for Living's website at insight.org.
Right, we're back again, and one of our faithful callers just called, and he disagreed with my statement saying that the Pope called himself Christ on Earth. Well, I've seen many Catholics that say this. He was Vicar of Christ. You know, Vicar is vicarious Christ. It means substitute Christ, and so that is Christ on Earth, and they've taken the titles, you know, Pope Innocent III. He used to visit Baptist churches back in 1200. And he wore a three-tiara crown, King of the Kingdom of Heaven, title for Jesus, rule over the heavens and the earth. That's why they sent the Crusades there, so they could get control of the Holy Land. King of the Kingdom of Heaven, King of the Kingdom of God, that's a spiritual kingdom, and King of Purgatory. And so I won't comment on that right now. But
it's an imaginary kingdom.
Yes. But anyway... So substitute Christ, and like I say, Pope Pius XI said that he should be recognized as God on earth. So, you know, we have a lot of people today, though, on the radio and television. I guess they you know, they'll even say, they'll have a King James Bible there and say it's the Word of God. And then a little bit later, the Greek says, or it should be translated so-and-so, you know. And they've said it's the Word of God. Now, tell me, are they not correcting God by saying that? I mean, doesn't it come out that way? What do you think?
Oh, absolutely, because you're putting yourself up as an authority over God. And the Bible says God's words are forever settled in heaven. So,
yeah, and you said it's the Word of God. I've seen this on television numbers of times. And they'll go on, you know, this is the Word of God. Every word is true. And a little bit later, a better reading is... You know, it should be translated. The Greek says, I don't think they even know how many Greek texts are out there, or how many lexicons or Greek dictionaries, many of them put out by people that are not even born again, you know. And so that's why thy word is, you know, the Bible says thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. God said his word is true from the beginning. I've said this before, but this is something you ought to have in your mind. Jesus said, the Bible says, he upholdeth all things by the word of his power, Hebrews chapter 1. The Lord Jesus Christ is the most powerful being in the universe, and he upholds those stars. And they talk about the Big Bang Theory, and I believe that it's more than a theory. Suddenly Jesus said it, and bang, it happened, you know. But rather than just be an explosion, those stars move within a fraction of a second. And they tell time by those stars. And the Lord Jesus Christ controls those stars that move within a fraction of a second. And I tell you, he is so powerful that he can keep his words. And I just say this, this program today that we're on today, I am absolutely astounded because someone asked me on the radio a few years ago and gave me free time. And since that time, this program goes over the whole world. And I wouldn't have enough money to pay for 15 minutes on one station. And it is going over the world. We're getting, by the way, we're getting all kinds. We got 99, what is it? What do they call that?
A number of hits on your website, which is whereisgodsword.com. If somebody wants to even listen to this program later, they can find this program and earlier programs, whereisgodsword.com. And we know there's been a number of people from the United States, from France, from Russia, and Latvia have been visiting that site.
Amen. You know, some of them were my friends because I got a missionary over in France and one in Russia. So I guess I won't tell their name, but it's on the internet all over the world.
Let me correct myself here. I don't think we've got that. That's not the right web address. I think I misspoke there. That's one that we would like to get. We just haven't got it yet.
Oh, I see.
It's whereisgodsword.com. Now have to put in Maple Knoll, MapleKnoll.com. Or .us, I'm sorry. Whereisgodsword.maplenoll.us. That's a little wordy to get in there, but a shortcut way, if they go to my website, livewithpastoral.com, there's a link to yours. They can get there. Either way, they can get there.
Okay.
And or if they just Google Bruce Musselman, your name will come up there, and they can find the website. And it's got a video of you preaching and singing. And your CD series on the Bible and prophecy is available there as well.
Well, thank you. And you set that up for me, and I really appreciate you doing that. So thank you for coming on this program, and Brother Clark for getting me here today. So anyway, we're going to, in a little bit, we'll open this up, but we're going to give just a few more scripture verses, and then you can call Ed. You know, we've been on this program. I've had this program about 3 or 4 years now, but we've just opened it up for a call-in program, been on an hour, you know, so you probably won't be waiting too long to get on, and you'll be speaking to a good part of the world if they're listening. In fact, it's covering most of the world right now, and which I just look at as an amazing miracle. I'd never dreamed of such a thing, but God is all-powerful, and Jesus can protect his word. If he can run those stars within a fraction of a second, he can protect his word. Let's do a few more scripture verses here before we continue, open it up, okay?
All right. You want me to give you that phone number so people can get ready?
Yeah, okay.
All right, that telephone number, toll-free, 888-677-9673, that's 888-677-9673, and that'll work in the U.S. and even Canada, I believe. Or you can try 216-901-0933. That's 216-901-0933.
Did we do John 10:27?
That's what we did the last, we were moving on, I think,
okay,
to Hebrews 4:12.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to do Hebrews 4:12. God's word is powerful. Let's get that one then, read that.
All right, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart."
All right, now, God's word is powerful, so you know, the Puritans, when they came over here, they were using the Geneva Bible, and that's in the true line. I mean, it's in the true line. It's the received text out of Antioch. But at that time, they were spiritually, they were really backslidden and breaking down, and I won't go into all the stuff that went on. But, I mean, it was really a low spot at that time. But George Whitefield came over to the United States with the King James Bible. And when he came and preached, he started in Georgia and he preached his way north. And I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit worked like you wouldn't believe. And it turned the whole nation upside down. And it was just an incredible revival. And so many of the founding fathers, and they would deny that today, but you can read what they say. They're in books. You can quote like George Washington, who was raised an Episcopalian, but he was a Bible believer. And of course, at the end of the American Revolution, why John Gaino, pastor of the First Baptist Church in New York City, baptized George Washington. But you read his prayers, and this guy was a man that really knew God. And he was a believer, a born-again Christian. There's no doubt about it, because he would write his prayers out, and you can buy the books with his prayers in them. But him and many, many others were just saved. And Benjamin Franklin was a friend of his. Now, I won't say that I know that he was saved, but he was a friend of Whitfield's. But the country was turned upside down, and thousands of people were born again. But he came over with the King James Bible, and the Holy Spirit backed it up. So we mention him. Then we have a fellow that is not well known, but his name was Schubel Stearns. And he was a Baptist preacher, and he went into North Carolina, and he started to preach at one place and soon had hundreds of conversions. And then people went out from his church and turned the whole South into the Bible, what they known as the Bible Belt. And church after church was started, and thousands of people came to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the whole Baptist movement in the South was built on that. But not only that, the Methodists used the King James Bible too. And so and God powerfully worked. And since the time Whitefield came over, it's almost been a continuous a source of revival in America. From it slows down and then it starts up again with the King James Bible. And Charles Finney, who had great revivals, he said he never felt qualified to correct it. So God's word is powerful. And you see another individual, for instance, was D.L. Moody. And Moody preached all over, and thousands were converted. He started out with a Sunday school in Chicago, preaching to ragamuffins and preaching to some of the educated people in Europe. And Moody wasn't very well educated, but he went to Oxford. And when he was there, they mocked him and ridiculed him. But he had the mothers come and pray. And when he got done, there's probably over 100 students from Oxford went as missionaries. Besides all the conversions that took place, God powerfully used him. And he was a King James only person. We quoted it last week. We quoted D.L. Moody last week on this very subject, just like Charles Spurgeon. We can mention another person that God powerfully used, and he was mocked and ridiculed, but Billy Sunday. And there is a preacher in New York City, at Brooklyn Tabernacle, New York City, a powerful preacher. His name was Talmage. And Talmage stated that the King James Bible was a perfect translation, and God powerfully used him. And his sermons were used in 600 newspapers the following Monday morning after he preached on Sunday. 600 newspapers. His son went to Chicago, became a pastor in Chicago, and this baseball player named Billy Sunday went to Talmage's church, and he started preaching out of the King James Bible. Billy Sunday did, and he says the scholarship disagreed with the Bible, and he's talking about the King James Bible. He says scholarship could go plumb to the devil. And Billy Sunday went to New York City, and the Holy Spirit backed these men powerfully. When he went to New York City, his meeting there, he had 123,000 conversions. And A.T. Robertson at that time, the famous Greek professor that didn't know where the Word of God was, he said that the Textus Receptus, that's the text that came down from the apostles that the King James is based on, he said the Textus Receptus is dead. This is about 1900. And while he said that, Billy Sunday had just led 123,000 people to Jesus Christ. Well, we could say A.T. Robertson is dead, and the Word of God liveth and abideth forever. And Billy Sunday led him to the Lord with the King James Bible. Why? Because God's Word is powerful, and it just keeps right on going. And so, and it has kept that. Even Billy Graham, most of his ministry quoted at the beginning of it, certainly quoted from the Authorized King James Bible. So here's these people that everyone knows that God used, and they were King James only people. They believed it was the Word of God. And so today, you know, you say, well, I don't like what you're talking about. You know, you're negative. Well, they, you know, the electricity has a PowerPoint on it and a negative. I mean, it's power. It has both. You know what God has told us to do? I'm at that age where the Lord could take me anytime, you know, and I think of this. I don't want the Lord to give me a DD degree. You know what a DD degree is that the Lord is in the Bible? It says, my shepherds are all dumb dogs, you know. They refuse to bark. And so this is a major, major issue where the Word of God is. We have been saying this, and we give out a paper. The names of Jesus have been taken out of the modern versions in 100 places. We have the exact references. So before the Lord takes me home, I'm going to do a little barking, you know, because I don't want him to give me a dumb dog degree. He says, my shepherds are all dumb dogs. And we're supposed to warn people. We have the Word of God today. And there's a lot of other people. You know, I sat under Alfred Martin. I had him as a professor when he was executive vice president of the Moody School. And he was a Bible believer. He wrote a book, Defend the King James, still around today, see? And the evidence is so overwhelming. And now you may be of the ostrich club, and I pray that you just get out of that club. You know what an ostrich does? When he senses danger, he sticks his head in the sand, and he digs a hole and puts his head in the sand, you know, when he senses danger. And there's preachers out there, don't give me one of those books. Well, you won't find them in the bookstores because they're selling the new counterfeits, one a year almost, and they don't want you to know about this. But a lot of very, very intelligent people that are Bible believers that believe they have the Word of God have defended the King James, and we mention them. For instance, Dr. Gail Riplinger, that's some of the best. She sold 500,000 books, and people read them. And when they read them, they tell their friends about them because they're so good. And she's written a lot. But there's numbers of other excellent books out there today talking about the Word of God. And they're easy to understand. They're factual. They're not just opinionated with just people's opinions. You know, I heard one people say opinions like a monkey tail. You know, every monkey has one. And you're hearing these people that are Bible correctors. I just say they don't know what they're talking about. If they do, why don't they prove it? And quit correcting God's word. I don't like to say names, but I'm going to start talking about some of them. Pretty soon, if they keep on going, doing what they're saying, I'm going to give their names. We're going to discuss them in their corrections. So that's not the purpose of this. The purpose is to say God's word is powerful, and we have it. And we say God's people, the Holy Spirit bears witness to it, and every new generation of people that are born again have it. Now, the Bible says that it says that the Word of God is not made in man's wisdom, but it says holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And so it's not the Word of God did not come in man's wisdom. And the modern ones are based on heathen philosophy. Okay. It's put into the modern versions. Read New Age Bible versions. You'll see some of the New Age stuff that is put into the modern versions. All right. God's word is sharp. 1 Peter 1:23.
All right.
And Hebrews 4:12. Okay.
We just did Hebrews 4:12.
Let's do that one again because it says that.
Let me back up. I was just heading to the other one.
And then we'll do 1 Peter 1:23.
All right, Hebrews 4:12 again. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart.
Now, see, let's give an example here where the modern ones are dull. They're butter knives. For instance, they don't, I think it's the New King James, I don't want to say that absolutely, but a lot of them, they refuse to translate the word Hades. And yet the way that Christ used that word, and you're supposed to do it by comparing Scripture with Scripture, he's talking about hell there. And so cool off hell a little bit, maybe that's where some of them are going. You know, they want to air condition their future house. They refuse to translate it as hell, which is a sharp word. The Bible, the true Bible, says they change the truth of God into a lie, but the modern versions say they will exchange the truth of God for a lie. There's a difference from changing it into a lie, and that's what they're doing. They're changing the word of God into a lie. And so when they get to that verse, they always change that verse to exchange it for a lie. It sounds almost the same. And I'm not going to go into that right now because our time is going up, but there's quite a difference between changing it into a lie and just dumping it and following some other belief. Now, here's another reason that we believe the King James Bible is the Word of God. It says God's Word is believed to be the Word of God in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13.
All right. Okay, I was at 1 Peter there. Do you want me to read 1 Peter?
Yeah,
as well?
Go ahead, read 1 Peter. We'll get it together.
Yeah, before we miss that one there. 1 Peter 1:23 was being born again not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever.
So the word of God is incorruptible seed. Now, there's people that can put out corrupt Bibles, but there's always going to be the true seed. Man's DNA begins to get corrupt, and so when people are born, they're born with deformities. But God's word, the true words of God, will continue on forever. And so it says in the Bible, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation. We have time for calls?
We have David on the line waiting.
Okay, go ahead.
Hello.
Hello, David.
How are you, sir?
We're fine.
Good to hear. I heard you talking about one of my favorite verses, and I had to say how much I enjoy that King James verse, Hebrews 4:12. That's a mouthful, isn't it? I mean, it's amazing what the word of the Lord is. I mean, just to think about what that says, it's all about the word of God, you know, how sharp and powerful and dividing all sorts of things, and wow, it's amazing.
It sure is. And David, thank you for calling, you know. And I know him, and you know he's fired up for the Lord. He's always giving out tracts, and if you get a tract, it might be David that hands it to you. It might be almost anywhere where he hands it to you, downtown or someplace else.
I love to share the word of the Lord, my friend. Have a good day.
Okay, thanks for calling, Dave.
Bye.
Let's get a few more of these, and then we'll open it up. We already have a little bit of time left, but we'll. So God's word is believed to be the word of God. You found that yet?
All right. Where were we going next?
1 Thessalonians 2:13.
1 Thessalonians 2:13. All right. We were jumping around here a little bit, and we got away from that. But give me just a moment, and I just went past it. I'll catch up. 1 Thessalonians 2:13 says, "For this cause also we thank God without ceasing, because when ye receive the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe."
I have a book at home that quotes people from the last 100 years, you know, and it shows that millions of people have believed it is literally the word of God, the King James Bible. So it says, Paul thanks God when they received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God. In this program, we believe that it is the word of God. You are reading what God said in the English language. Because God said in Psalms 12, 6, and 7, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. And so the Lord has given us his words. We have one other scripture verse I want to simply mention. The Bible says in the book of James that the word of God, it says we can look at the perfect law of liberty, talking about the word of God. It's something that we can look at. And these guys that correct it, they're always talking about the originals, which they don't have. And they're talking about the original autographs or something like that, you know, or they're talking about You know, and most of the time they're talking about Constantine's, the sun god's Bibles that he put out. Constantine worshipped as the sun god. And so they're talking about that. But the Bible says we can look at the perfect law of liberty. It's something we can look at. I have a King James Bible here. And when I read it, I believe it is the perfect law of liberty because God said the words of the Lord are pure words and he would keep them forever. Now, the word of God can be handled. Let's read that.
All right. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2 says, "But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God."
Now, I have a King James Bible. I am holding it in my hand. Is that right? And that King James Bible is, I'm handling the Word of God. It says we can handle it. Amen? We can see it, and it's perfect, and we can handle it. It has power. It's sharp. It will continue. The Word of God liveth and abideth forever. And we have it today. And thy word do I, have I hid my heart, that I might not sin against thee. God bless you. Read it, and God will change your life. Praise the Lord.
You have been listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. If you enjoyed today's program and would like to receive a free brochure that lists 100 references where the name of Jesus has been omitted from modern versions, we invite you to drop us an email at sos1611@gmail.com. That's sos1611@gmail.com. Where is God's Word is sponsored by the Mantua Country Baptist Church, located at 12385 Chamberlain Road near Aurora, Ohio. Pastor Murray Bay and the congregation cordially invite you to worship with them. Sunday morning services are held at 10 and 11 a.m. For directions or more information, please call 330-562-6600. That's 330-562-6600. Or write to the Mantua Country Baptist Church, 12385 Chamberlain Road, Aurora, Ohio, 44202. Tune in again next week at this same time for another edition of Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman.
The preceding program's views, claims, or representations may not reflect those of AM 1220 The Word